Recording. All right. Hey, everybody, and welcome to season 2 of the Irish Podcast. I'm Jay.
And I'm Cormac. In this season, we share the ups and downs of our Italian journey.
From how we moved to Italy to the hustle of work, we'll be sharing what it's actually like to move countries.
Join us for our Tuscan adventures, our unforgettable bedbug experience, plus tan, plus an Edinburgh Fringe special.
Whether you're a travel enthusiast or just curious, join us for stories, laughs, and good old Irish hospitality. I'm definitely keeping that tan bit in. Sorry, I had a typo on the list. So, welcome. This is the final bonus episode of season 2.
We're flying. Should I say woo or boo?
What we're doing? Look, we're finishing season 2 within 2 years of starting the podcast.
I mean, that's pretty good going.
We've definitely caught up.
Yeah, no, we've definitely caught up.
Yeah, because it took us like a year and a half to record the first season, so we're
You get bed bugs and a crazy neighbor, you just don't feel like recording a podcast.
No, you don't, you know. But today we are cozying up on our new couch.
Woo.
In the new apartment, and we just said we're gonna record a bunch of pods. And we're going to
get season 2 finished.
Let's get season 2 finished. So today is all about not just Tuscan tours, the surrounding areas, but it's all the little day trips that you can do from Florence.
Yeah.
The day trips that we would recommend and the day trips that we would not recommend doing because some people are lunatics and travel for hours and hours.
Just crazy.
So we'll start off with, do you want to start off with Fiesole?
Fiesole is another city. Just in the hills. You have to call it a city.
You do. They get very mad.
They're like, we're not a town, we're a city. And we're older than Florence by like a few years or something like that.
Yes. But
they have a big like firework display off apparently as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very entertaining. But Fiesole is just outside of Florence.
It feels like a hilltop town outside of Florence.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
But just outside of Florence, you can get a bus up there. It takes you about 20 minutes.
The number seven.
And for me, a famous connection, for me anyway, is where Leonardo da Vinci trialed his flying contraptions for the very first time over the city.
Yeah.
Beautiful panoramic views. You're looking over the entire valley of Florence. Stunning. You can go up there, nice coffee. There's a couple of little bars and restaurants.
There's even a little Irish bar up there.
Yeah, of course there is. Mm-hmm. Of course there is. And there's a little park as well. Well, there's several parks surrounding that area where you can go and walk through the hills. One's named after Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
If you're just looking to get away, apparently a lot of people who live in Florence during the summer will go to Fiesole because of the higher altitude, slightly cooler.
Yeah, it's a little bit breezier.
Yeah.
And I would recommend, some people are mad people and they hike up to Fiesole and back down. I would recommend getting the bus up and then having a nice saunter down.
Strolling down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some beautiful places up there, I have to say.
It is quite fancy up there. A couple of celebs we've heard live up there.
Yeah, a few celebs, holiday homes in the surrounding hills.
And
not in Fiesole itself, but just on the way up to Fiesole, there's a lot of beautiful, beautiful villas.
And the Belmont Hotel is up there, isn't it?
Yeah, the Belmont Hotel is up there.
Yeah, so it's just a stunning little, you spend an hour or two wandering around up there, maybe get a little drink. You can get the bus up, you can get the bus down. There's buses running every 15 minutes. So
a very famous amphitheatre up there as well, I believe.
Yeah. And there's a really cute church. So
yeah
lots to do, lots to see, but a nice little, if you don't want to go too far.
Yeah, and you just want like a nice little stroll around the hilltops and parks and then see the churches and the amphitheatre, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some nice basilicas.
Yeah. About a 20-minute drive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes from San. But you can get the bus from San Marco or the train station, anywhere really.
Anywhere really, yeah.
Just look up number seven. Yeah. The next one is Livorno. Now, Livorno is a bit of a strange one because it is a seaside port town that a lot of cruise ships will go into. If you're getting a cruise from anywhere in Italy, it'll probably be starting or ending in Livorno. A lot of people in Florence have holiday homes out there, so they go there for the month of August. But we went in January.
It was weird. It was weird. It's a very large, like the layout is very large. I don't know if it used to be a very, very popular city, but like the streets are very wide. They have very good, like connected.
It's all in blocks as well.
Yeah, it's all done in blocks. And they have the old fort with some rivers running through the fort surrounding that area.
So it, It was called Venice of the West when I was looking it up.
Yeah.
They have a few little canals. So there's lots of little boats there. If you have a boat, a lot of people park their boats there. But for a place that's apparently right by the coast, did we get to see the sea?
Well, we could see the sea. You just couldn't get to it past all of the marina.
Yeah. So there's huge private marinas. Yeah. And essentially you just can't access.
I think the beach is like 5 kilometers away.
Yeah, so you're going down, you have to go, you have to get in a bus. You can get a bus from the train station. It's not a big deal at all. But just if you're in your head, you were like, oh, Livorno is one of the closest towns to see the coast. It is not, because you need to get on a bus from the train station and head down to Nevada, which is just outside of Livorno. But it wasn't, I don't know if we'd be going back.
It was all right. It wasn't, you know, it was grand. It was grand.
Like it was a little bit, oh my God, that mosquito. The mosquito season is picking up here and it's driving us insane.
Yeah.
We went there for 2 nights. We went ourselves for the first night and then a couple of our friends came for the second night. And it was really fun because our hotel had an indoor pool.
That was the best part.
Yeah, they stupidly forgot to lock it at night, so we just hung out there for the evening.
We just drank it there till like 4 a.m.
Yeah, it was really good fun, actually.
That
was
the best part. Don't tell the
hotel. No. But Livorno, I mean, look, there was some nice fish markets. There was some really nice fish restaurants as well.
Yeah, no, because that's where all of the seafood for Florence and Milan, I believe, gets brought into.
Yeah, it's a huge port.
Huge port. Yeah, all the cargo ships and everything as well. Like, they all dock in there.
Yeah, but I would recommend if you got the train, so it's less than an hour on the train to Livorno, I believe. And it's just a regional train, so it's quite inexpensive. But if you got on the bus from Livorno train station to Vada, again, it's 5 kilometers. There's some really, really cute looking kind of shacks on the beach. So like shipping containers that have been changed over. There's also really nice camper van sites out there. They do like windsurfing, surfing, all that sort of stuff, and really cute little beach bars. So would recommend Vada, but maybe not necessarily Livorno.
Yeah.
There were some cute bars in Livorno.
Some very cute bars in Livorno, like a little Irish bar as well. There's a few nice spots.
But again, because we were there in January, most of the places were closed. So we didn't get a proper feel for it.
It had a very like rough and ready feel, like many like proper port, hardy marina towns feel like.
Yeah.
It felt very much that way to me.
Okay. So we went to Bologna for a night for a little holiday a couple of months ago.
Yeah, little night away, get out of Florence.
And people rave about Bologna. You know, it's got one of the oldest universities in the world. Huge university town, lots of young people. We were like, okay, like let's go to Bologna, maybe party it up a little bit. You were more taken with Bologna than I was.
Yeah, like it's a funny one, Bologna. I obviously knew it from like the home of Mortadella, which would be Bologna for anyone who knows that term from America. But that's the original mortadella comes from there. So as a food capital, being close to Modena as well, that's where all your really good balsamic comes from. I was excited for food.
The food was incredible.
It was some of the best food we had.
Yes, 100%. Sure. We had the best meat and cheese board we've gotten in all of Italy there.
Yeah.
But Bologna is about a half an hour, 36 minutes, I believe, on the high-speed train from Florence to Bologna. And the accommodation is a lot cheaper in Bologna. It's a bit more of a drivable city. So I would actually use Bologna as a cheaper base to explore Tuscany, even though it's not technically in Tuscany, but it's only a short drive around. If you wanted to still stay in a city center, but maybe Florence isn't quite on the...
It has like a gigantic hub of a train station over multiple levels underground and over the top, and it has an airport just outside of the city, so it is like very central. You can kind of base yourself there.
Would say Bologna airport is fantastic. So we're kind of working out all of the, we'll talk about it in our ultimate guide to Florence, which is our final season episode, but Bologna airport is really handy, and sometimes the flights can be a lot cheaper coming in there as well. And they're a lot more reliable than flying into Florence, because the runway in Florence airport is really short. So, but Bologna, it's in blocks as well.
Yeah, very well laid out.
Very easy to navigate. And there's some cute little rivers running through it.
Yeah.
And it's famous for the towers.
Yes, the famous tower.
The food market was awesome.
It was really good. Really, really good. I would still prefer Santa Perugia in Florence.
Yeah.
But I have to say, we went to a little bar, which really cute street, packed of, you know, like there was vendors, there was food market stalls.
Just outside the market.
Outside of the market. And it was really, really beautiful atmosphere there. And that was my favorite place we went to. And we just sat up on the table. We had a meat and cheese platter that was probably the best ratio to meat cheese you've ever seen.
Yeah, it was great.
Three pieces of cheese for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was that crap ton of meat. It was, for value for money, it was the best meat and cheese board we've gotten in Italy, I would say.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
We went around to a couple of different little bars. We went to both the Irish bars there.
The big Irish bar was probably one of my favorites in Italy.
It was hip-hopping, yeah.
It was because they opened immediately with a happy hour. And had these cute little integral like benches running along the windows outside for anyone smoking. And like that was really cute. It was on the side street. That was beautiful. And like really, really.
It was. I think.
It packed that bar.
I think the reason why personally. I think I would enjoy Bologna at any other time. But I think I was craving. Again, just like Livorno, I was craving to see the sea.
Yeah.
And when we went, I felt very, very landlocked. And, you know, it's not even like Florence where there's a big river or something. It's just like. Here's the city, bam, you're in the middle, you know.
Yeah, there's a few bars, there's a few restaurants, there's a lot of food.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because we've done so many cities in Italy that by the time we got to Bologna, it kind of felt like the same.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest positives I would give it was the meat and cheese board, like the food quality in Bologna is incredible. If you're a foodie, go to Bologna.
100%, yeah.
For the food, but... Culture-wise, there's not as much as the other cities. I remember one square we were in was absolutely gorgeous. I had a couple of different churches, curved street, kind of in the center.
And they had a little train that would bring you up.
Little train going around. It was, yeah, like there's some parts of Bologna that I really thought beautiful, but it just didn't excite me like other cities.
No. Now, there was a student vibe. I loved the vintage shop. I bought a really nice cardigan there. But there was a good late night scene and there was a jazz bar that we really wanted to go to, but we were kind of shattered. That was just unfortunately our...
And I think there was like a gigantic queue outside.
There was a huge queue, yeah. I was not arse waiting in it. But the nightlife in Bologna is hip-hopping. And especially for if you're in your 20s or 30s, I think it's a nice place to go where you're not, it's not a lot of 18, 19-year-old students. We kind of saw it was a little bit more of an older demographic there. And yeah, lots of places for wine, lots of really cute little streets to, have your aperitivos and stuff. But aperitivo. I keep on saying aperitivos all
aperitivo.
The time. Yeah, aperitivo, excuse me. But yeah, so I think overall, would we go back? I think we'd go back there if there was a concert. Or if we were meeting a friend there or something. But I felt like we got Bologna done in 24 hours.
We really did. We really did. I go back there for some, because I know they have one or two food festivals throughout the year as well. I go back for a food festival.
That'd be super cute.
That 100% I go back for that. Mm-hmm.
Or I'd be more than happy. Sometimes there's really, really cheap flights coming into Bologna from Ireland late at night.
Yeah.
And so if I had to stay there overnight and... kind of hang around there the next day for a couple hours, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Yeah, I'd use Bologna as a base to explore the town of Modena for the balsamic. That would be a dream. And then also, I think there's a really good connection route straight across from Bologna to the famous place of San Marino.
Yeah, so Bologna does have an absolutely gigantic train station.
It's one of the bigger hubs.
It's 6 or 7 stories.
It's insane.
We got lost. and our trains got slightly delayed.
They changed the platform. We had to run from the bottom floor all the way to the top floor.
We accidentally got
16 platforms across. And it was
But if you're in Florence or Rome and you're trying to get to the East Coast, you have to kind of go up to Bologna. There's a huge national park kind of south of Bologna to the right of Florence, and you have to just go in a big circle. So Bologna is this really, really, really busy hub for regional and for fast trains.
Well, yeah, just the region of Emilia Romagna, where Bologna is based, just the other side of Tuscany, is separate from a mountain range. So you're the other side. So it's way easier to get to Bologna first
and then go
left and right.
So I would recommend, if you're doing a couple of stops along your visit, you know, if you're doing your Rome, your Florence, and then going up to Venice, maybe stop in Bologna for a night.
Yeah.
Especially if you're, you know, a foodie. But yeah, that's Bologna. The next one is Lucca, which, funnily enough, so Lucca is, again, inland. And I thought it would be a similar feel to Bologna, but it's a walled city and I way preferred Lucca.
I thought Lucca was really, really cool. I think it's well worth it for a day trip because it's a genuine, authentic walled city and it's like beautiful to walk through the gates and just like, it felt like old, tiny, like really beautiful.
Yeah, they had the towers there as well. They have a tower that has trees growing on the top of it, which is mad.
Stunning, yeah.
The food, like the restaurants there weren't as good as Bologna, but I feel like I had a more chill time because you're in within the wall city. I don't know, I just felt safe.
I think the food experience better in Bologna, but atmosphere better in Lucca.
Yeah, I think Lucca is definitely, if you're 30 plus, I think Lucca is the spot for you. There's a few really cute Irish pubs there as well. One of the Irish pubs stayed open until 2:30 in the morning for us, so thanks very much to that. It was just outside the city walls. We ended up running into a friend of ours there.
Yeah, randomly.
So we went on the piss with them and that was mighty crack. Shout out to Dottie.
There was some really nice fires there. There was like, when you got there as well, because it's a walled city, you can actually walk along the walls, the entire circumference of the city, which is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then there's a bicycle lane and you can rent, they're not rickshaws. They're like little like,
they're like 4-person bicycle rickshaws.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can get 2-person ones as well.
Yeah, they're four. It's 4 wheels. You have a steering wheel and you pedal. I don't know the exact name of them, but you can rent them in the city and then you go out to the walls and basically go around the city. And one of the recommendations we got was to do that. And all the little entry ramps that lead back down into the city where you come on and off the track, stop off a little better.
Yeah.
Get back on, go around the city a bit more. So yeah, I really did like the vibe there, I have to say. It's a city I'd love to go back to.
Yeah, Lucca is also really big for events. So they have a square there. There's always huge things going on there in terms of like markets, Christmas markets. But they also do a huge 2-week summer festival of music.
Some really good artists.
Yeah, really good artists. Now, I'll start with, Ed Sheeran was playing. But you know, it's that level of artists. Like they had Kiss last year.
I'm looking up who's playing. Swedish House Mafia that's playing.
Are they?
Yeah. Ed Sheeran, Lenny Kravitz, Eric Clapton. This is all for this year.
Mm.
John Fogerty.
Okay, yeah.
Duran.
So
they have a lot of like the Lugia. It's called the LSF 24 for 2024 this year.
I'd highly recommend. Now, obviously, you'd want to book in advance and book your accommodation a bit more in advance because it would be a bit more pricey during that time. Yeah. But a friend of ours did go to Lugia. Just for a concert and then got a train back to Florence. So it's about 1.5 hours by train from Florence. Sometimes it can be 2 hours depending on if it's a slow train or a fast train. But I just really, really enjoyed Lucca as a vibe. I'd go back and I'd bring, especially if my parents were to come back or one of my brothers who've done Florence a couple of times, I'd be like, okay, I'll bring you to Lucca for a day trip.
I think if anyone's like thinking of going over and seeing events, especially like concerts and things like that, the version of Ticketmaster for us over here is called Ticket One.
Yeah.
And if you use their app, you can search by cities and by venues and by areas.
They even have football tickets and everything.
They have everything. Yeah. It's just like, I think just in the name is it's like Ticket One, one-stop shop for like all the tickets. Mm-hmm. Like we bought the rugby tickets on that to the Six Nations. You buy all the concert tickets. So it's all the events. It's not a bad app, I have to say.
Yeah.
But that's how you find out what's going on.
But I can imagine that during that festival 2 weeks, I'd say Lucca is hopping.
Oh, I'd love to see the atmosphere there. I would love to. Because we saw some food event, I think, or a food festival being set up. And like the marquees were...
It was outrageous. Like that would be a permanent structure in Ireland. And they were just building it for this little week-long food festival. So
it probably takes longer to build it all than... actually the events that run it.
Their production and events teams over there are savage, which I obviously working in events really appreciate.
So
next up is Siena, we have a full episode from season one about Sienna, so we won't go too much in depth. It's pretty much all the same information. I would just say whatever costings we gave you back then, double it, because we came at the tail end of COVID where everything was a lot cheaper. So just double.
Yeah, we were there during their very famous horse race, Campo di Paolo.
Yeah,
Campo di Paolo. So we were there for that, and we even got lucky with the price then. And like that weekend, it's on in June and August, or August, September. The big one's in August.
Yeah.
And that's like really expensive. So just keep that in mind. If you were just like, oh, I'll go to Siena, and you don't realize that it's the Campo di Paolo race is on, you're going to be screwed trying to get accommodation.
Yeah.
Because it's just booked out months in advance.
The only, like, Siena was really cool. I'd definitely do Siena for a day trip. I think it's just bear in mind that if you have any accessibility issues, that it is not the city for you.
Yeah.
It's a walled city on a mountain, and it's very, very mountainous. So yeah. I was killed out of my arse, killing me the following day. So
yeah, it's very steep. Like, because you arrive at the train station, that you can only get so far into the center if you're not a resident, and then you just have to walk up. So keep that in mind. It's a beautiful city to kind of just wander and get lost in, especially, I have to say, during the atmosphere of the Campo di Paolo, it's incredible. It's
yeah.
Like there's a vibe, the buzz.
It feels just like Paddy's Day for Siena.
Yeah, exactly.
With bad horse racing.
And if you're really into wine as well, like if you do end up doing a wine tour from Florence, especially like one of the 8-9 hour all day tours, you're probably going to go to Siena anyway, because surrounding Siena, you can see it from the town itself looking out. It's just wine country.
Yeah.
Pure Chianti Hills. You're in the middle of it.
So if you're interested in staying a night or two outside of Florence, I would recommend Siena, and you can go and listen to our episode from season one.
There you go.
La Spezia and the Cinque Terre.
We're conflicted on the Cinque Terre just because it's the kind of the Amalfi coast of the north, where it's these famous five villages. And it's just a little bit crazy. It's
very, very busy in the summertime, and it'd be a bit desolate and depressing in the wintertime. It is absolutely stunning. However, it is not a day trip.
Yeah.
People are like selling these day trips, and like all they're doing, like they're selling these day trips on these packaged websites, and like all they're selling you is train tickets.
Yeah.
And like maybe a guide in one of the towns, but it's just not worth it. To get to La Spezia, it's a minimum hour and 45 minutes, but there's always a delay getting in there.
Yeah.
And then you have to pack into a train station and like get on a train to one of the Cinque Terre towns. And it's just thousands of toilets.
It's a bit of like wacky races, dodging cars going on with trains.
Yeah.
It's just like, it is.
There was people,
we arrived at the station like early in the morning, not really thinking how busy it would be, even at the tail end of COVID, especially at that time, because it wasn't even that busy then. It was packed. The train station ticket machine, we thought we were going to miss the train we had planned to get, because at that time we didn't know to just book them in advance, way better. There was a queue of about 40 people for a ticket machine, and the trains were coming in, and then people didn't know how to use the machine, and then you're just waiting there, and you get packed into this train like sardines. You head out.
If you don't like crowds, it's not for you. But the Cinque Terre, I would say maybe approach it from going to Genoa first.
Yeah.
And then getting a train south to one of the bigger towns.
Yeah.
But La Spezia in and of itself, we stayed there for a couple of nights and I enjoyed it. I did.
Yeah.
Again, it's like I feel like it's a better Livorno, personally.
I would agree with you there. Like La Spezia had some beautiful, like I had one of the best seafood pastas I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Like lifetime. It was absolutely stunning.
There was a really cute food festival going on. But again, it is a port town and it is one of the biggest for cruise ships. So you get a lot of cruise day trippers coming in, and then a lot of restaurants. We now realize were completely empty, but when we went up to them and tried to get in, they were like, no, it's all reserved. And it was obviously reserved for people on the cruise ships that were coming in at a certain time. So, but around that harbor is absolutely beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It's where everyone likes that wants to travel up and down the Cinque Terre puts their super yachts, basically,
yeah.
The regular boats. It's just thousands of boats in the marina and a lot of, you know, a lot of cruise ships, a lot of ferry boats and things like that. But I have to say, it's like a really, it's a lovely city, even though like it's very working class as well.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of like oil tankers and stuff like that, mm-hmm. like cargo ships as well.
But I think it's kind of a double whammy. It's either you stay in the Spezia when you really wanted to stay on the Cinque Terre because you don't want to spend the money.
Yeah.
So you get to save the money and the Spezia is fine, but then you have to crowd in on the trains with all the other tourists during the day. Or you get to the Cinque Terre, which is a bit of a journey in and of itself, and you choose one of the five towns, but then it kind of dies down at night. But that's kind of nice as well if you want to, you know, if you want to relax and like yeah. enjoy a seaside town. So if you're not much of like a partier, you don't want to stay out late, then I would recommend just going and staying in the Cinque Terre itself, even though it's yeah. a little bit pricier. But I don't know. It's kind of a half one, half the dozens.
Yes.
But yeah, so La Spezia, it's okay.
It's nice.
It's totally fine.
It's totally just nice.
Are we getting a bit jaded of Italy? We're like, oh, it's great. Like, you know, if we'd even gone to La Spezia like
no,
2 years
like,
ago, we'd be like, oh my God, it's the best.
But like, come on, like you go to Napoli, you go to like Lake Garda, you got blown, yeah. like we got blown
there's,
away.
There's
like,
better places to go.
But that, I think that's just the standard. Like we got blown away by certain places in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And then other places in Italy were really nice. Stunning, beautiful, good food, or like just good accommodation.
Yeah.
But I think it was very much because of the time we went. La Spezia was like, we got a stunning apartment for like 60 or 70 quid a night. So we were like, oh, it's really cheap. And like, you know, it's like Cinque Terre is right there. But now that's not the case.
It's
now
not it's the case. Expensive. Yeah. So
I can't justify how I felt about it.
I have looked up staying in La Spezia again because it was so affordable the first time we went.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about, you know, for a double room in a hotel, 120 is like the cheapest you're going to find. Yeah. And that only goes up in the summer. So I just feel like it's not worth the money personally. Mm-hmm. But yeah, again, what I would say is if you are interested in going to the Cinque Terre or La Spezia, go back and listen to our season one, but triple the price of what we mentioned.
Easily.
The next one we're going to mention is a place that we've actually never been in the town centre.
We visit there often.
We visit there all the time. For me, every 3 months.
Every 3 months. So
it's Pisa.
It's Pisa. Now, we were going to go to Pisa, I think, on the original holiday, but we got talking to some people in, I think it was Sorrento.
Yeah.
And I had a pub, and they were just like, the biggest waste of time we ever did was Pisa. We're like, what do you mean? Like, you just get off and you off the train station and you go in. You see the tower and you take your photos. Everywhere around the tower is complete tourist traps, but that's literally all of the city center.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So what we've heard now of literally almost 100 sets of like set of tourists from you working at Finnegan's is you get off, you go to the tower, and there's a big Zara, and that's it. So
yeah, I've gotten more like told about the big Zara being amazing, that tower. Like, Zara's class there, it's huge.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just if there is a late night bus now from Pisa Airport that'll wait until the last flight comes in. So there has been a couple of occasions that before we knew about that bus, we were looking at accommodation in Pisa, being like, oh, well, we might have to stay the night or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just never jumped on our radar. I know a few of my friends stayed in Pisa for the last night of their holidays.
Yeah.
And my parents stayed there as well. And, you know, they had a great time just for one night. But I think it's a one night.
One night and done.
Yeah. If you're flying in or flying out of there, because I would always recommend just across the board in Italy, because trains can get massively delayed, is always go to the city that you're going to be flying out of the night before. Because you just never know which way the trains are going to go. So yeah, if you're flying in or out, especially if you've got an international flight, Pisa, then go and stay there.
I really like the airport. Can I say that much?
Yeah, the airport's grand.
The airport's cheap grand. Bar. It's just cheap bar. You just like, it's very small. You just rock in. Security's usually nice. It's just, you know, some very often delays, but
yeah.
I like the airport.
The airport is grand, but yeah, we would just recommend not to do the Leaning Tower as a day trip. Yeah. I think that there's a lot better out there. If you have a car, happy days, drive down.
Fly in, get your pictures with the tower and get the hell out of there.
Yeah. And then the final big recommendation. So this is like our number one thing that we would recommend people to do is, especially if you're not hiring, if you don't drive, if you're not hiring a car, if you're not bothering with any of that faff and you're dealing with trains or public transport, There are several different bus tours that we have sent multiple friends and family on at this stage. And they leave from just beside the train station in Florence. You have to go there for like 7 o'clock in the morning. It's very early.
Yeah.
But they bring you to, there's some tours that do two cities. There's some tours that do three cities. It's usually that they bring you to Siena and Pisa, or Siena and San Giovanni, and then sometimes they'll bring you to all three. Yeah. And you stop off for lunch in a vineyard in the Tuscan Hills. And because it's all by bus, you get to see the beautiful Tuscan countryside. And they can be very, very cheap. Like, we've seen them for as little as like 40 euro. So
what do they go from, like 5 hours, 7 hours, 12 hours? You can get different levels at all. Then obviously it would be like two vineyards, no lunch, to like two vineyards with lunch, to three vineyards with lunch, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So there's vineyard ones, and then there's actual town ones where you can then buy add-ons. So you could, maybe the initial bus tour itself is only 40 euro, but then you can buy add-ons for walking tours in the different villages, or you could just get off and explore the town yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that they're really effective. You get to see two or three cities and you get to see the whole of Tuscany. Everybody has raved about them that I've sent them on. Yeah. I must say, like, my parents had the best day. They were tired by the end of it. They only did the two city one.
Mm.
But, you know, they're getting on now. They wouldn't be going the whole time. So,
no.
But they were absolutely blown away. And a few of our friends have done it as well. And they just thought it was great.
I've met a lot of people in work, a lot of tourists who were like, oh, we just came back from a tour. And everyone is always raving about it and how good it is. And I'd highly recommend it.
And if you think about it, like, they have hundreds of people doing those bus tours every day. So they've got it down.
Yep.
They've got it down.
They know that. They know the shtick.
That's kind of it, Bob.
That's the gist of what we would recommend. We still have a lot more exploring to do ourselves.
Of course,
there's a lot more little like cities and day trips that we've been recommended, even like smaller towns.
So we're
Montalcino is one I really want to go to. That's the big wine country one.
I want to go to Vada because I want to see the sea.
Yeah, I want to go to Vada, yeah.
But yeah, so we have a little bit of a list to do for this year. And they might just be day trips because, you know, accommodation is just sneaking up in price all the time.
Especially during summer.
Yeah. But if you have any recommendations for places around Florence, we would love to hear them. I know San Germani is actually on my list
as well. That's a big one as well.
But yeah, so they are just kind of our feelings about the places around Florence, around Tuscany. Just outside of Tuscany.
And yeah, next episode, we'll be talking about our all-in guide to Florence a year later. So the ultimate guide.
It's our season two finale.
Season two finale.
We've been here for 2 years now.
Woo.
2 years next month.
2 years next month.
And it's just going to be all of our transport, all of our accommodation, all of our food, all of our...
It's a revisited list. At everything we've experienced since we first recorded our Florence episode.
Yeah, so we're not going to go really over the same places at all. It's all of our finds that we found this year.
Yeah.
And we think it's pretty strong, I have to say. So
please tune in for the next episode. And thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, guys.